So we're looking at Matthew chapter 19, and we're looking from 16 to 26. So I'll give you a moment just to let you find it in the little booklets. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word.
Thanks, Barbara. Hold on to that, because I'm just going to tell you the story. So you might as well. It's better to look at that than me, isn't it? Hold on to that. Where are we? Page 40. That's where we are. Now, come on, let's have a look at this story, right? This bloke has got loads going for him. The bloke in this story is top man. Have a look with me. Verse 16. See, have a look at in the story. Look at verse 16. Now, a man came up to Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" And look at 22. Look at the verse on the number 22. See what it says there? When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. So, sometimes when you read the Bible story, you've got to stop. Barbara, spot on. You read it and you go, right. What's it saying? Look what's saying here. This is what we're meant to see. This bloke, verse 16, comes up to Jesus. Look how polite he is. "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" Isn't he nice? No, people come up to Jesus all the time in the stories. Rude. So he's polite, okay? Right, he's rich. It's all right, isn't he? He's polite, he's very rich. One of the accounts talks about, he's in three of the four accounts of the life of Jesus, he has some kind of authority, we don't know what, he's got some kind of authority, he's a ruler. Rich, polite, ruler. If you look closely, there's only one thing missing in this bloke's life, one, right? He's not Welsh. See, nearly had it all. This fella did. You weren't expecting that. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't talk about that. Right, you always. Right. So it comes up to Jesus. But look, here's the point of the story. This is the point of the story. Look at the question he asks in verse 16. And that's what the rest of the story is about. What good thing must I do to get eternal life? Hiya, Jesus. Very nice to meet you. I've heard really nice things about you. I've been looking forward to meeting you. I fancy going to heaven. I really do. I'm pretty serious about it. I'm used to making deals. I'm used to ducking and diving a bit. I will be in if I can cut a deal with you. I'm really up for it. Here's what we're going to read now. Jesus gives him, very, very kindly, he gives him three chances to see that he's asked the wrong question. Not one chance, not two chances, three chances to see that he's asked the wrong question. The question's a bad question. So right at the start, I'll go through the three quite quickly because they speak for themselves, right? But what we're meant to grasp now by the end of this story is if anybody thinks the way you get right with God is by doing good stuff, they're wrong. Right, that's what the story's about. Now, for some people, that makes them cross because they go, what do you mean? What do you mean? Like, I'm not perfect, but I'm better than her. I'm better than him. All right, I'm not as good as her. But I'll pass the test if it comes to the crunch with God. Don't tell me I'm not good enough. For some of us, it'll make us cross when we say, no, you can't do anything good enough. But of course, for others, we're just going, what do you mean? Well, I can go to heaven, I can know God, I can meet God personally without being good enough. And some people in the room will go, result. Because if you knew me, I've got no chance, you're saying to yourself. I'd have no chance. What, somebody like me can be right with God? Yeah. That's the story. Here we go. This boy hasn't seen it. He thinks he can cut a deal because he's good enough. So he's got a wrong understanding. Strike one, right? Here we go. Verse 17, first wrong assumption. Jesus looks at him and says, why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. It doesn't embarrass him. He just says, interesting question. Why do you ask me about what is good? What good thing have I got to do? There's only one who's good. Now, the shorthand way of to explain what Jesus is saying is, he's going, mate, stupid question. Like, there's only one who's good. God's good, isn't he? Like, so that means you're not, son. That's really what he's saying. There's only one who's good. What are you asking me about what he's good for? Do you see what I mean? He's kind of being kind, but he's going, wrong question. Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good, so it's not you. Is God. Now at this point, he's got like chance one. He could have said, oh, I see. Oh, hang on. I've got this wrong, haven't I? I've come to meet you. I want to know God. I would like to have eternal life. How thick am I? He could have said. How thick am I? I think I could be good enough, but blimey, if I look at what I've done in the last week, if I look at the things I've done in my life, how could I be good enough? What am I thinking about? That's what he should have said. Ha ha, this is what you should say. No, I haven't got a right to go to heaven. I can't cut the deal. If Jesus, Ian just said it, if Jesus sees me, right? Speak for yourself on this one. If he looks inside what I've been thinking in the last week, all the best, don't you think? Are you ever going to tell anyone the worst thing you've done in the last month? I don't think so. God sees it all, right? So come on, let's strip this. I'm not going to say to you, tell us the worst thing, or we're all stuffed. But what I'm saying is, let's strip this away now. You know, what good thing have I got to do to get to heaven? Nothing, you can't. You're not good enough. It's meant to be a relief when Jesus says this, isn't it? Right. Here's the second of three chances he gives him. So that's the first chance, right? Doesn't do anything. Let's settle the second one. Second half of verse 17. This must be a look and words combined. Because in the first half of verse 17, he says, well, there's only one who's good, so it's not you. Basically, it's not you. Look, it's almost like he says the opposite now, Jesus. Second half of 17, if you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Well, he just said, no one's good enough, can't do a deal. And then he says to him, but if you want to enter life, keep the commandments, but stick with me. Because he's not actually giving him a list of things to do. Watch what happens next. This is genius, because Jesus was God, became a man, and he is pure genius. Watch what happens here. He's chuffed the bloke, verse 18. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments, the 10 commandments, right? Yes, This boy's a Jewish kid. He grew up in Saturday school. He knows the Ten Commandments like the back of his hand. He's like, ah, come on then, let's have them. And here they come, here they come. Which ones? He's perky now, look. Where's he? Here we go. Which ones, the man inquired. Jesus replied, watch my fingers, do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Lie. Honor your father and mother. Five. Right? And love your neighbor as yourself. Do you see that? 18. Right. 10 commandments. The first four commandments are about how you treat God in the Old Testament. No other gods before me, for example. If you like, in a crude way, they're vertical. The second six commandments are how we treat each other. Right? Jesus says six things, but he leaves one commandment out. Look at it again. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, honor your father and mother. But the last thing he says, love your neighbor as yourself, isn't the 10th commandment or the last of the six. It's a summary of them. Jesus leaves out a commandment. Now, at this point, the bloke's got to say, excuse me, I came to see you today because I'd like to get to heaven, and I think if I do the right things, I can get there. You've just told me no one's good enough. All right, I'll let that ride. Now you've said to me, keep the commandments, and you've gone on and listed the social commandments, how we treat each other, numbers 5 through 10. But Jesus, you've left out number 10. Why have you left it out? That's what he should have said. Because you know what the 10th commandment is? Well, I'll tell you in a minute. Right? But he leaves it out, Jesus. Now, at this point, the bloke's got to be thinking to himself, listen, they say this is the greatest teacher who ever lived, and he doesn't even know the 10th commandment. Or he's left it out on purpose. I'll tell you what it is. Do not covet. Don't be greedy. Always wanting more. Never satisfied with what you've got. Always got to beat everybody. Always got to get more. Always got to be top. Now, at this point, the fella's got to go. Has he clocked me? Like, does he know me inside out? Oh, he's a charmer, isn't he? Hello, nice to meet you. What have I got to do to get to heaven? I'm quite successful and wealthy and, you know, I'm up for it. No, no one's good enough, son. I'll tell you what, keep the commandments. Oh, come on, that's more like it. Come on, I'll do a deal with you. I've left out do not covet. He should have said, I'm grasping. I'm greedy. How do you know my heart? How do you know I'm so selfish? How do you know it's all about me behind the facade of being lovely and polite? How do you know that? That's what he should have said. What does he say? Oh, what a mug. Verse 20, all these I have kept. Oh, you mug. What do I still lack? Now, friends, he's gone for the bluff with Jesus. Right? He's tried to bluff it out with Jesus. Don't do it. I mean, do not do it. It won't work. I went to a school in Milton Keynes a few years ago, year 10 assembly. And it was like a big entrance hall like this, secondary school. But when I arrived, there was no one there. Everybody was in registration. So I walked in, but there was one boy. He was standing against the wall outside the head teacher's office. He was as pale as that wall. I thought he was going to faint. It was about 8:30, 8:15. So I said, excuse me, I'm looking for Mrs. Evans for year 10 assembly. He said, oh, sir, you just go down that way. I said, thanks very much. But I thought, I can't leave him. He's going to faint. So I said, are you all right then? He said, I'm not feeling very well, sir. I said, well, what's the matter? Do you want me to get somebody? He said, no, I've got to see the head. I said, no. He said, yeah. I said, what's the matter then? It was a Tuesday. He said, well, yesterday it was pouring with rain when we all went home. So when we were going to the buses, we all came through here. He said, when we came through here, he said, there was loads of people in here. He said, and see that fire extinguisher on the wall over there? I said, yeah. He said, somebody took it off the wall and squirted it all over people. I said, never. He said, yeah. I said, that's terrible. He said, I know. I said, did you do it? He said, I don't know. No, he didn't know, didn't he? He just didn't know if the teacher knew, didn't he? I couldn't leave the school after I did the assembly. I asked if I could see the head. I asked the secretary if I could see the head teacher. I didn't know him. It was him. I didn't know him. And I said, sorry to bother you. I said, I just did a year assembly. There was a little boy who, and he said, oh, yes. He says, yeah, Williams. I said, okay. He said, yeah. He said, yeah, he came in. He said, I said to him, did you set off the fire extinguisher yesterday afternoon? He said, no, sir, I didn't. He said, well, son, he said, four teachers saw you doing it. I said, so what happened to him? He said, well, he got double punishment, one for doing it and triple punishment, like triple the worst punishment for lying about it, because he tried to lie and he wanted to teach him a lesson. It was a stupid thing to do, but lying's loads worse because it gets you into trouble in life, right? This bloke bluffed it with Jesus. Hello, very nice to meet you. How are you? Nice to meet you too. Listen, I'm interested. I think I'm a good guy. I think I deserve to come to heaven. I'm used to making a deal. I'm in if I can do a deal with you. No one's good enough, so wrong starting point. I tell you what, I'll keep the commandments. Yes, result leaves one out, covet. At that point, it's the same point made twice, right? No one's good enough. He just gives him a different chance to find it out, doesn't he? The bloke should have said, how do you know I'm greedy, grasping, full of myself, behind the facade? How do you know? And he said, I've kept them all. What's missing? Strike three. Watch this one. What a story. I mean, what a story this is. Well, here's the third one. Verse 21. See it there? Here we go. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect... If you think you can be perfect, if you think you're good enough to come to heaven, if you think you don't need anyone but yourself, if you want to be perfect, and he must have looked him straight in the eye. He must have said straight between the eyes. Sell your possessions, give them to the poor, then you will have treasure in heaven, then come and follow me. Now, the Bible says a lot about wealth and giving wealth away and not being mean with your money. This isn't about that. This story isn't about that. I don't know. I say, because I'm Welsh now. I don't know if you know this. You know what I say? Tight. Tight. Yeah. Now, I'm interested now. If I say tight, I mean what my father used to say about one of our neighbours, that he was so tight, he could peel an orange in his pocket wearing a boxing glove rather than share some of it. Is that what you mean by tight? Last of the bar, moths in the wallet, right? Right, right. What's the worst thing to say to a tight person? What would be the worst thing to say to a tight person? Give it away. Do you see what Jesus has just done? He could have said to him at this point, listen, son, I've given you two chances here. You're too full of yourself. If you want to come to heaven, you come empty, nothing in your hands, bankrupt. I'm giving you every chance to know that you don't earn this. It's a gift. No, he can't. Give it all away. I got into trouble over this as a little boy growing up. One summer holiday, I was kicking a ball against the wall outside my house and Tom Tite walked past. And I must have felt quite grown up. I was about 8 or 9, I think. And he walked past, said, morning, Graham Daniels. I said, morning, Mr. Tite, how are you today? Next thing, I was hauled in by my mother. Wait till your father gets home. Wait till your father gets home. I said, well, what have I done? She said, well, you called Tom Tite, Tom Tite. I said, well, that's what you and Daddy call him. She said, he's not Tom Tite, he's Tom Evans. I said, what do you call him Tom Tite for then? Because he could peel an orange in his pocket. My dad came home from work. Oh, I had it. Oh, you fool. What are you doing? Get your mother upset calling Tom Tite, Tom Tite. What are you calling Tom Tite? He said, don't be soft, man. He said, don't be soft. He said, listen, who else lives in our street? And then my brain, click, click, click. Oh, my word. Will Williams. Will twice. He was called Will twice. He said, well, I think Will twice his name is. I said, I don't know, Mr. Twice. He said, William Williams. What about Evan? What about... I said, who? He said, him at the end of the street. I said, what, Mr. Above? He said, Evans Above. He's the undertaker, man. But yeah, it was the best one. There was one still in my head when I went to bed that I said, Dad, I said, he's one of them I can't work out. because they were all like two-story houses, like semi and terraced. And so I said, well, that is one I can't work out. I said, what about Bill Bungalow? I said, because there's no bungalows here. He said, come on, son. I said, no, I don't know, Dad. I can't work him out, Bill Bungalow. He said, nothing upstairs, boy, like you. What's the worst thing to say to a tight bloke? Get him in. No. Jesus gave him three... Do you see, the Bible's incredible. If you are... I'm a visitor, obviously, tonight, because this isn't home for me. If you're a visitor tonight, I've known Charlie for a long time, and the best thing... There's lots of good things about coming to church. Lots of good things. Community, friendship, getting to know people, company, chance to give away something of your own life to help other people when you never thought you'd get this chance. You get love, you give. It's lovely. But at the heart of it is opening the Bible like this, looking at the Bible and saying, what are you going to teach me, God, about my life? What can you teach me about my life? Not their life, not him, my life too. And that's why the Bible's fantastic, you know, as relevant as it ever was today. And that's what's happening in this story. What must I do to get eternal life? You can't do it. I know your heart, mate. You're tight as anything. You're greedy as anything. You're never satisfied. You're driven, man. He said, now stop it, is basically what Jesus says. And stop it if you want to come to heaven. Look in the mirror, man, he says. Look in the mirror here. And so here's how the story ends. 22, when the young man heard this, look at this for a line, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus didn't say, give me a couple of grand for the church roof then and you can come in. No, 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 no. He was self-sufficient, see? And isn't it funny? You don't have to have wealth to be self-sufficient, do you? You just depend on yourself for everything. I don't need anyone. I'll make it happen. No one looks after me. They've all left me to it. I'll sort myself out. Life's kicked me in the teeth. I'll sort myself out. I can pull things off. I'll sort myself out. Self-sufficiency will stop you coming to heaven. Not how bad you are. Not the mistakes you've made. Not the screw-ups. They can't stop you. What stops you is being so full of the fact that you can make it on your own that you've got no chance of saying, help me, to Jesus. So here's how the story ends, 23 to 25. Jesus said to the disciples, I tell you the truth. It's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Some people say there was a little gate in Jerusalem, a very small one, called the eye of the needle. So this would have been funny if that's true. Because he said, oh, imagine a camel going through the eye of a needle. You're not laughing because there's no camels here. But it would have been quite a witty thing at the time. Well, the disciples can't believe it. Look at 25. Last but one line we're looking at today. The disciples can't believe it. And maybe you can't. Maybe it's hard to believe this. Right, the disciples have gone to him. Seriously now, verse 25. Look, greatly astonished. They've looked at Jesus and gone, listen, if he can't go to heaven, no one's got a chance. Look at him. Smart, polite, well-to-do, good reputation. Ha! Like he's everything you want to be. If he can't go, we're all stuffed. And that's the mistake people make about Jesus all the time. You've got to be good up front, not naughty, earn the right life, and you'll get in because you earned it. And it's the opposite of how you become a Christian. Or does it? I don't know. It excites me that that's true. But you'll know which way. It doesn't matter if you've never been to church or not now before, right? Or if you've been for 50 years. I can tell you now, there's only two types of responses in the room. There'll be somebody going, oh, I'm not having that. I'm not having that. Steep down. No, I'm not having that. And then there's the other part of the room. I don't know if 50-50 or 70-20, 30, or I can't do maths. There'll be others in the room. The rest will be going, yes. What a result that is. I can be a Christian. I can go to heaven. Me, after what I've done this week, come on. You land on one side or the other. Forget however often you've been to church or not. Nothing. One side or the other is where we land when we hear this story. And here is the punchline. Jesus looks at them and says, that this is what you've got to take home. Right? If you don't mind me, you haven't got to take it home. This is what I'd love you to think about. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Oh my gosh, what? I can be a Christian. Do you not know what I've been up to? Do you not know the things I've caused people pain with? Do you not know what goes on in my head all the time? I can be a Christian. Yes. But if you want to do it on your own without Jesus, it's impossible. Why? Why? Well, by the end of the story in the book, Jesus hangs on a cross, probably in his early 30s. And as he hangs on that cross, it's like he's holding his father's hand there. And he's holding a hand out to you and he's saying, now, let's be clear about this, rich young ruler. As I'm dying here, I am the only human being who ever lived a perfect life and never, ever, ever did anything wrong. Jesus is the only one who's good enough. And God sent him because he knows we're not good enough. And somebody has to pay the price of justice that you and I deserve for our refusal to live God's way week after week. And on that cross, the only perfect one took your and my punishment. And there are only two options. You can walk away thinking, I quite like some of those people who are Christians. I quite like the story of Jesus. But he's not going to get me to heaven. I'll get there myself. Or you say, and the rich boy walks away sad. Or you say, can I grab your hand? And he goes, grab my hand, son. Madam, grab my hand. And the truth is, you know, you're not even grabbing his hand. He's grabbing yours. Get yourself in here. Are you feeling it? Get yourself in here. I want you. Boom. And then he smashes the grave to bits. And he comes through the other end and he says, who's coming to heaven with me when it's all over? Because I've beaten death. And we're going, I'm in. 10,000 years, here we go. Here we go, here we go. So that's the story. Good story, isn't it? I know, a ridiculously good story. When you read it and prepare it, you go, how can Jesus be so kind? So, last thought. You can walk out of here saying, I'll walk away, I'll do it my own way. Self-sufficient me. You're a good lad, Jesus, but I don't need your help. Leave it to me. Or you walk out of here tonight going, thanks. Yes, you paid for me. You love me. And heaven's mine. All because of you. I deserve nothing. That's why we come to church on Sunday. You know, don't you? You go to church on Sunday going, yes, another week down. Jesus still loves me. I've sung about it. I've read about it. I've talked about it. I've prayed about it. He still loves me after all this nonsense and all these years. New week, let's go. That's why coming to church is great, isn't it? Just to remind yourself of this hope that's ours. I'll hand back to Charlie and point out to you, I've said there are two options here, and there's a little booklet called Two Ways to Live, which summarizes everything I've said much more quickly and succinctly than I did in telling you the story. And that's there for you to take away and read through. But for goodness sake, don't hit that pillow tonight without saying, I'll take it. I'll take it. Because I can tell you now, if you haven't done it yet, it's the best decision you will ever make in your life. And then back at Christchurch next week in Avanti. And for those of you who know Christ personally, it is the encouragement of opening the Bible and reading together, isn't it? Yes. To say, come on, new week. Thank you, Jesus. You still love me so much. Amen. Charlie, back to you.